There we go. Ashton, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you taking time to answer some of these questions that law firm founders have all over the U.S. It's going to be a great session. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to the chat. Thanks, Scott.
Yep, totally. So let's talk about, how can a firm feel confident that a change in their legal practice management software is actually worthwhile? Because we talk to law firms all over the US. Some don't have anything. So their question is, is it worthwhile for me to invest in this? Some already have something, but they didn't really know what they needed when they got it. So they're thinking about switching. So can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. And that's very common. I think being at ACAM, we get to talk to a lot of firms that are facing that exact same challenge. And the effort that's required, if it's going to take you away from your day-to-day practice, you want to make sure that it's going to be worth the return of the time you're going to put into it. So what I think is really important for firms that are in that situation are to really start with a very strong understanding of what the outcome they're looking for is. And that can be different for many different firms. For some firms, it's about getting more time back. Sometimes people find that their work bleeds into the weekends and they'd rather prefer to keep it more 9 to 5. For others, it can be about getting more clients through on a monthly basis. And seeing if there's ways to gain efficiencies. So I think starting out in a journey to try and think about having perhaps a new tool or new ways to support your business, it's important, I think, to start with that list of what am I looking for? If I'm having friction in different parts of my day-to-day, should I be looking for ensuring that I'm spending more time on billable hours, for example, or what that goal state is? So for someone, success might look like I can turn off the computer at 5 o'clock on a Friday, and I know that's it until Monday morning. And for others, it might be I have a growth target of doubling the amount of clients that I can work with on a monthly basis. And measuring everything against those goals is what will make sure that once you've made the change, you know you've done well.
You talked about measuring, right? And we're very big on ROI, and financial analysis when you're talking about marketing and advertising and sales. What metrics would a firm track to try to quantify this change?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm getting a sense already. I hope that all my answers aren't "it depends," but like I think there is such variety in a lot of the firms that I know talk to 8 a.m. a lot. Is that a couple of I'll give a couple of examples. Some KPIs that I think have been helpful to the firms that come talk to 8 a.m. And make a change are things like knowing that right now if there's a starting baseline that you're aware of how maybe how long things take, how much revenue you're generating on a monthly basis, maybe even how many hours you're spending on billable work versus non-billable work, that's a great starting point to be able to track change. I would advise anyone who's thinking about changing their practice management system to really start with figuring out what those baselines are. And some great KPIs to track then to see the difference are things like faster time to cash. That's something that we see a lot of people say back to our sales team and our customer success team that once they make a switch, that they notice they were going from maybe spending weeks trying to try to track down delinquent clients and bills that weren't getting paid to having new methods to get paid and follow-up reminders means that sometimes when it goes from bill to invoice to payment within the same day. So there's a very clear difference that they're experiencing. Other times it can be about having more billable hours. And again, this is where tools like having good automatic time tracking can support. And that's another one where if you can have a starting point of knowing how many times, how much billable hours you're generally doing on a monthly basis versus making the change and then tracking that over time. There's a couple of examples, but it could also be in terms of are you getting more cases seen to on a monthly basis? And then there's more difficult ones to put to quantify, but you know when they're happening, and that's things like having a happier office, working with people who find it easier to work about their day to day, and that you're maybe perhaps not spending as long doing administrative tasks as you were in, before. So I say that it's not just one hard metric like saving time, which is of course very important, but I think having a broad spread of both quantifiable and more fuzzy KPIs will really show the holistic benefit of a good change being made.
So great, great, great point. Ashlyn, help me with this because legal practice management software has gotten so robust, so capable over the last 5 years. What aspect of, LPM software should the firm be focusing on? What's the most important thing?
Yeah, I mean it's a great point, and I think that's something that I've seen firms come in with. And what can happen sometimes, unfortunately, is like if someone has had a bad experience, maybe with a certain aspect of their day to day, that's the part they want to make sure that they get right. And I think that is really important to go in with a specific aspect. So it can oftentimes be something, and I tend to see the majority of people come in wanting to make sure that they're getting their finances and billing and invoicing really well sewn up, which is, the critical part of running a successful business, obviously. But what I would also recommend for coming in and asking questions on making sure that you're finding a solution that's right for your firm and your setup is certainly around the financial aspect, because I think that's just the foundational underpinning of a good legal practice management system. But to do a due diligence, I would go broader in the set of questions to ask. So things like, will I be able to integrate this legal practice management tool with other tools that I have in my tech stack? That might not always be the case, or you might have some specific requirements for integration, and it's just tough if you get to the last minute and then realize that it's not going to be a clean connection between those tools. I also think, obviously, most important to get to put on your own life mask first and make sure that it's right for you. But I think understanding what will the client experience be like. So not only does this work for me, but will this work for my clients as well? And then I think a big one is the efficiency gains. Being able to understand specifically how you can gain efficiencies for your setup with this with the legal practice management tool. A lot of times that could mean the use of AI. And if that is the case, that there is AI to support greater efficiencies, to know to what extent that helps with things like drafting or searching client files. And also to know if there's a cost associated with that, because sometimes AI tools can be sold as an add-on rather than as part of the core product. Another couple of things is there are general practice management solutions, and then there are specific ones for practice areas. If I'm a personal injury lawyer, I might want to look for something very different than an immigration lawyer might want to look for. After all of that, something, depending on your level of need and how much capacity you have at your firm, I would want to know how long is it going to take me before I can get this tool up and running. So understanding implementation, what would be required with training, and how long it'll take before I can input my first case and get working. They're all things I would want to know.
We're really big on the marketing and sales features, the ability to get a lead, a potential new client in the system very quickly, and then track them through the life of their relationship with the law firm, especially to make sure, like an intake, I mean, if they don't hire during the consultation, is the intake team making those 6, 7, 8, 9 contacts afterwards that sometimes it takes in order to close them? And, I don't know how, without that feature, I don't know how law firms can survive. So when we meet someone that, that's the priority that we ask them. I know there's a financial side, it's probably more important, but they are related. Never underestimate the power of legal practice management software to help you win and get hired more,
Absolutely. And that brings up a great point too that I neglected on reporting, making sure that there's reporting that can look not just at billing and invoicing, which is obviously very important, but like at your CRM stack, being able to track individual productivity levels, they're all crucial for being able to make in the moment business decisions.
You talked about financials earlier and about cost. How much should a law firm invest in software like this?
It's a million-dollar question, all right. And I think it's going to be there's going to be different perspectives on it. I've heard a couple of rule of thumbs in the past that depending on the industry, business owners may spend between 8 to 10% of their overall revenue on the tooling that they use to underpin their work. But there's a number of different ways of looking at investment versus ROI. So one part could be in terms of looking at the cost per user versus the value received. And I think that that's a more holistic way to look at it as well, to look at it in terms of how much time am I going to save using this tool, how much more work am I able to get done in using this tool, and then there's going to be a real-time value of money and a time to value equation that everyone can kind of work out for what that means for themselves of what they're willing what their outlay is willing to be versus the kind of sorry. Sorry, would you mind asking me that question again? I just the cough came through here. Apologies.
No, that's okay, because I just realized that I ask you the second half questions first. So my editor's got to go put that at the back end. So I'll explain it to my editor later. I don't know if you caught that, but I ask you the last four questions first.
That's fine.
Oh,
You
it's funny.
just roll with it.
So the core question was, how much should a law firm invest in LPM tools?
It's a great question, and it's going to be a really important one, because every dollar a business and law firms are no different spends out, you want to make sure that you're getting your value back for it. And I've heard of a couple of different ways of looking at this. One from a very tactical perspective, there is a rule of thumb with small businesses that your operational tech stack should take about 8 to 12% of your revenue is what you should be spending in total on that. But I think something that another way of looking at it that's more tangible is to think about in terms of the return on investment you're getting for the outlay. So you're going to have to look at how much time am I going to get back by implementing the solution? Am I going to be able to do new work or increase the volume of work that I can take on with this solution? And assuming that the cost for the tool is lower than the value I'm going to get back, and assuming that you can reach the crossover point soon of how much money I need to spend to in order to recoup my investment and then just start to make money on accretively, that's the point at which for your law firm it's going to make sense whether to invest in the tool or not. The only thing I caveat with that I would say as well is it's important to know one, the time horizon that you're making the commitment over. Sometimes tools you can set up a month-to-month contract, annual or multi-year. So there might be a different level of risk that you feel if you want to have more flexibility, maybe monthly is better for you versus longer term. And also taking into account the full lock, stock and barrel total cost of ownership, not just maybe sometimes there's a base cost to tools, and sometimes there's add-ons, and sometimes there's even usage costs as well associated with it. So looking at the investment, I think it's best to take the total view over the time horizon you're expecting to put the investment in for, and just to make that assessment for your setup if it's worthwhile of a commitment.
Yeah, that, I mean, great point. You should always look at the overall aspects, even kind of the lifetime value of a tool like this, and with the new clients that you bring in with better close ratios. And a lot of clients, depending on your practice area, will refer you, and so that makes them even more valuable, or they'll hire you again for something. So, your ability to use a tool like this to take better care of customers, I mean, you got to think about that. Over the lifetime, I think. So we could actually help law firms do an analysis like that. I think the folks at 8 a.m. would be happy to walk someone through that. I know you guys do free demos, and if there's interest, I'm sure that your folks will be glad to help them look at the cost and the ROI, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, even if you just want to check on the 8 a.m. website, I know we have a calculator tool that if you input the amount of time that you currently spend on tasks and then look at what the difference might be depending on how many people are in your firm, it'll give you an estimate of the potential savings that you could make when you move
Oh,
to
really? What a
a
perfect
solution.
place to start. So I'm going to go ahead and just do, since we're at the last question, I'm going to do a quick close, and then we'll go back to the top. Ashlyn, thank you so much. You guys probably don't know, but she's about to do a national webinar on this same topic. So we got her several hours before that. So it was such a huge blessing. Ashlyn, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Had a great conversation. Thanks, Scott.
Oh, yes. I'm Scott Berry for your Law Firm Growth Lab podcast and MarketCrest, the international award-winning legal marketing agency. If this episode helped you, follow the show, leave a quick rating, and share it with another owner who needs it. Find everything you need at marketcrest.com. All right. So then now let's back up and do the first question. And so, editor, those are the last four questions. So here's question number one. All right, so this one is the what are the most common reasons firms decide to look for a new system? Okay. All right. So, Ashley, first question, what are the most common reasons that a law firm would decide to look for new legal practice management software?
Yeah, the way I think about it is, from all of the firms that I see that we get to speak to on a regular basis, I see there's three key themes that seem to bubble up or come up again, and it's not actually because they have a specific issue with a specific feature in the tool they're currently using. It usually appears more as friction points. So there can be three themes. So the first one being, there's several law firms that I've listened into who have maybe started off as a solo, were using Excel sheets, and maybe they've got DocuSign. They've got like a whole host of bits and pieces of tools that are kind of a bit widespread, and they waste a lot of time on context switching. Another view can be that you're up and running, you have a tool, but maybe an example would be where perhaps you started in immigration law and now you want to move into family law, and the tools you have no longer serve you. And then another interesting trend I see is there's some companies and some firms where they've invested in quite a robust tool. It's really better optimized for enterprise legal situations. And as a smaller firm, maybe up to 10, 20 people in the firm, it's kind of outsized for their use case. So it's kind of that Goldilocks, too hot porridge, too cold porridge, not porridge at all. And they're kind of some of the friction points of not being able to get the value out of the tool that they're looking for. And it's when people reach those kinds of friction points that they usually think, surely there's a better way than what how I'm currently set up.
So let's talk a little bit more about those friction points, because even if a firm isn't thinking about updating their tools, are there signs, are there friction points that they should look for that indicate that it might be time for a change?
Well, yeah, I mean, like that would be the ideal, that before you get to the point that you're having issues, that a change you can preemptively get ready for. So one example might be is like I mentioned before, the if you are moving to a different practice area, rather than wait until you get strung up with issues as you're working in that practice area, if you can ahead of time, sorry. I'm sorry, that's another one that we're gonna have to.
The topic is choking you up. It's you're so
Yeah.
passionate about it. You know, you can't, what can you do about
Just like, yeah, just in my eye. Like,
that? I love helping them so much.
such a passionate industry. Okay, apologies. Will I start talking again, or do you want to ask the question again, or
I'll ask it again.
okay.
So Ashley, so even if a firm isn't thinking about updating their tools right now, you talked about friction points that would trigger it. What are some of the signs and friction points that a law firm should look for that indicates it might be time for a change?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the ideal scenario, I think, of if you're really in tune with your business and your firm needs, ideally, as things change in your business, you're able to see, do you know what, maybe what I'm my current setup is no longer really working for me. Or maybe you're preempting that if there is a change, like I mentioned before, that you're maybe expanding into a different area or practice area, or maybe you're bringing on new staff. Before getting to the point where you're knee deep in trying to explain how your cobbled together system worked, or you're trying to use a system that's not designed for the practice area that you're trying to operate in, ahead of those issues and friction points percolating, to at that stage decide to look and evaluate what's currently out there. No harm. And I know at least the folks at 8 a.m., all they do is talk to law firms all day. So they really are specialized in understanding what firms need and trying to match tools to the situation that you're in, and what aspects of the product might help you with the challenges that you're facing currently. So even if it's not really in a painful situation, which I hope it never gets to, it may always be good to make sure that you know what's out there, and to see if you're working with something maybe just because it's familiar rather than because it's easy. Just because something's familiar doesn't necessarily mean that there's that it's working well for you, I'd say.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting here thinking, because I mentioned earlier that one of your responsibilities is the competitive landscape for legal practice management software. So this all comes very natural to you, but you know, if we put ourselves in the shoes of a law firm owner that's maybe never had a real competent system, how did they know what to ask when? Because generally, I think they'll probably talk to several companies, maybe even someone that they saw at a conference, right? People, their booths are set up. And so they start interviewing. How in the world would they know what to ask to try to determine if there's a good fit? Can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's hard to know where to begin with this, because it's not the focus area that a law firm is trained on by any means. I think I find that the people that ask a broad range of questions tend to end up feeling the most satisfied and confident with the solution that they end up going with. So not only do we need to think about operational and the practical aspects, you also need to think about some level of future-proofing for the firm as well. So they would involve asking about not only maybe areas specific to how your practice operates, but things like billing and invoicing, like the fundamentals really need to be solid. Also, if trust accounting is something that you need to do, ensuring that not only does the product support that, but does it support it in a way that you find easy to do, will ensure that it can be updated without too much manual effort. Beyond that, then we'll want to make sure that the work is being recorded on a regular basis. It's easy to log things. You want to make sure that everyone who's going to use the tool is going to be happy to use this. It happens more than I'd like to know how many people come in saying that they have shadow systems operating, because people find sometimes other tools can be so complicated that they don't want to end up using it. Also, I think ensuring that the solution that you go for not only works for the firm, but works for the client as well. I think what's really helpful is rather than asking questions, is maybe just sharing, first of all, hey, this is what my day-to-day looks like. I start the day at 8 a.m. and on a Monday, and this is how my week goes. Knowing that, please help me make sure that I'm matching my needs to the tools that you can provide. And that's a great starting point.
This is such a great, we ought to write a joint ebook on how to interview, a company or a solution to make sure it's a good fit for you. Because, I think the more, I agree with you, the more they dig in, the better their questions, the greater likelihood that they're going to have a good fit and it's something that the people at the firm will actually use. So help me with this. What difference should a firm see? So let's say they decide to go with their first practice management software, or they've got one and now they know a little bit more about what they need. So they want to upgrade, right, to a very capable system. What type of differences should a firm see once they make that change?
It's a great question, because like that means that the hard work's done at this stage. You've made the change. Everyone is on board with you, and the life you should be experiencing at that stage is one where you're no longer wasting time context switching between tools. There should be a repository. There should be one central place where not just you know where to find information, but everyone else in your firm knows where to find the information as well. You should be seeing new levels of productivity, and that can mean different things for different firms. It could be more intake, more outbound marketing. It could be more revenue recovered. And again, some of those fuzzier aspects, like having a happier and more efficient team, I think are always, that the solution and the change that you've made has had the right outcome. So basically, you want to know at the end of it, you've gained time, you're getting more revenue opportunities, and you feel confident that you're getting a strong return on investment.
Yeah, agreed. Outstanding. Why don't we just take a minute and tell some people, I think almost every law firm's heard of LawPay, PI, Case Peer, others, My Case, but just talk about 8 a.m. just for a minute, and I'll give you a time to give them a plug and kind of introduce 8 a.m. to those that don't know you guys that well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So 8 a.m., we're a professional business platform built for legal and accounting. You may know us, as you mentioned, some of the tools like LawPay, My Case, DocuWise, Casefear, and CPA Charge. So we bring together case management, payments, and financial tools into one connected space. So law firms, you're not juggling systems or chasing data. So this means you can run your firm with real life visibility, get paid faster, stay compliant, and make smarter decisions without the operational chaos. So at the end of the day, we help you spend less time on admin and more time on growing your business.
Yeah, and I love that you guys go to where the attorneys are. I was talking to someone at 8 a.m. about how many events that y'all go to a year. I think it's well over 100 events that you send a team to. So if they're not that familiar, I mean, obviously there's tons of content online, but I think that you'll be found at just about, any any regional or national event that a lawyer might make.
Absolutely. We love getting out and chatting to clients, new, existing and yet to be. And certainly, like, we're very active with all of the state and local bars. And we try to have events and talk to anyone who wants to talk about legal practice management. We'd be happy to
Well,
connect.
and hey, let's put a plug in for your own event, Kaleidoscope.
Absolutely, yes. Coming in September, 8 a.m. is going to be putting on our second customer conference in Las Vegas. And so tickets are now available, and you can find out more on the 8 a.m. website.
Oh man, I was at the first one in Austin and it was spectacular. I'll certainly be at Vegas. It's a great, it's gets even beyond just software. Obviously, you have a lot of partners there, and there's a lot of successful attorneys that have been kind of one step down the road from maybe where people are today that they can learn from. Great panels. It's a must attend event, I'll tell you.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, I had a fantastic time there last year talking to people and looking forward to bigger, brighter events this year to come.
Yeah, Ashlyn Conroy, thank you so much for being with us today. I know you've got a webinar on this exact topic in about 2 hours that's supposed to be live and national. And thank you for taking time to spend some minutes with our people today at the Growth Lab.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
Yep, thank you. Okay, that's simple.